Firepower with Will Johnson. Only at band.video.
And welcome to firepowernews.com. I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. We're going to talk about them trying to impeach President Trump with a lynching. Lynching President Trump. Seriously, the Democrats have lost their everlasting mind. So let me ask you this. What purpose does the Democrat Party serve? After learning their true colors from myself, talking about the Democrats, I found out the Democrats serve no purpose to the American people or to this country. The Democrats have created division, chaos, confusion, and violence against those who do not go along with their ideology. This is the Democrat Party of today, yesterday, and before. The Democrats will take something fundamentally innocent and completely twist it to fit their narrative. To give an example, if somebody white, a Republican, says the word monkey, the Democrats will say, oh, he must be talking about black people. Really? Well, in fact, that is not the case unless you're a Democrat, because only the Democrats see black people as monkeys. I got banned on Facebook for bringing that to light. Today, President Trump used the word lynching. And of course, the Democrats started screaming. He's talking about black people. How dare he do such a thing? Black people were lynched in the past, and he's bringing up all of these wounds that, of course, the Democrats did themselves, which none of them want to acknowledge. It's always been the Democrats. So now we have President Trump mentioning, you know, he didn't even mention a person of color. Or he didn't even mention people of color being lynched. He was talking about how the Democrats are attacking him with this impeachment, which is a political lynching. That's all it is. And the Republicans and the Democrats know this. They all know this. President Trump, had President Trump been a black person in the White House or a black Republican in the White House, the Democrats would have been trying to lynch him a long time ago. It wouldn't even be something brought up now. The impeachment, if a black person did the exact same job as President Trump, they would be trying to lynch him. They would be trying to get rid of him. The same way they're trying to get rid of President Trump. They're just trying to say President Trump is racist for doing what he's doing. So let me ask you, who are the real racists? Think about that. Who are the real racists? It is, without going any further, the Democrat Party, 100%. They've been that since the creation of their party. If the Democrats have a purpose, if they have any kind of purpose at all, it would be the same purpose that God created Satan for. The same exact one. The Democrat Party is the party of evilness. That's why so many people refer to the Democrat Party as Democrats. So we're going to talk about all of this lynching and much more today on band.video. So what you want to do is you want to come over to band.video. And here at the top right, there's a little button that says live TV. You click on that and it'll take you directly to the live broadcast, which you're watching right now. Take that link and share it with all of your friends. Share it out there. Let's head on into the studio. All right. Lynching President Trump. Now, the Democrats, they really want to lynch President Trump. They want him out of office. They're willing to do anything. They've already called for assassination against President Trump. You remember Kathy Griffin? She even had a severed head depicting President Trump. Snoop Dogg had a video when he was shooting President Trump. These Democrats will do anything and everything to get rid of President Trump. So please get everyone you know to join us over at band.video and share the link. And guess what we're going to be doing tonight? It's going to be on. You have to come back and see.
position goes. Okay. I'm not sure.
The other thing is that this morning the president was very critical of this investigation. He referred to it as a lynching. Is that appropriate?
The president's frustrated. I mean, if you had to go through the 3 years that this that the president's had to live through, I think that just is an example of the frustration the president feels. Remember, this all started even before he got elected. This started on July 31st, 2016, when Jim Comey opened the investigation and put the country through 3 years of this false accusation that somehow the president worked with Russia to impact the election. So going through that, and now this ridiculous charade that the Democrats are putting him through, you can understand why the president's frustrated.
Yes, the Democrats putting America through this charade, trying to say that because President Trump mentioned the word lynching, it's a political lynching. All right, Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, FirepowerNews.com. This is what's happening in America. The Democrats will take something and they twist it to fit their narrative every single time. They're like, oh, yes, look. Make him racist. Make him out to be racist. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to have naive people that go and listen to all of these leftist media outlets and going to say, oh, yes, he's talking about lynching black people when he didn't even say it. I guarantee it. You know what's coming. All right. Hey, Toms, are you there? All right. There he is. Nice to see you, Tom.
Great to be here, Will, on yet another day of the media making mountains out of molehills. I mean, the one good thing, I mean, they fall for the same trick every single time President Trump has played it, and he's been playing it very well for the past, 40 or so years now, where he says something, it's a little bit outrageous to some, so the media repeats it ad nauseum. So now the silver lining of this is millions of Americans who don't even use Twitter are going to see that tweet where he called what they're doing to him a political lynching, and that's exactly what it is. You're right, Will.
Yes. Yeah, you know, 100%. And they know it too, but they're playing games. They're playing the game. They're going to take this and do complete parodies all day through in and throughout. And what the thing that really ticks me off about all of it is that because President Trump said something about lynching, that they automatically associate lynching with black people. I mean, what is that? Why? You don't ever see Republicans doing that. You only see Democrats doing that. So when you hear the word lynching, it's only telling us that Democrats have this vision in their head that black people hanging from a tree. Really? I mean, how despicable is that?
That's a perfect point. I mean, honestly, like when I hear the word lynching, it doesn't come into my brain that, oh, black people are getting killed. I mean, that's not how normal people think of the word, but the Democrats and people on the left, and especially in the mainstream media, they see the world through the lens of race. White person bad, black person good, Mexican person even better, and that's just the lens which they use to see the world. So you're absolutely right. They are seeing this, having this racialist point of view, this racialist magnifying glass that you look at the world through, that is in and of itself, at least in my opinion, that's racist. I mean, normal people shouldn't be thinking this way.
You're absolutely right. And I think we have another video with Lindsey Graham where he's actually defending Trump's tweet about this. I mean, you know what? The Republicans need to, because everyone that has that, you know, that have brain cells that mount up to, you know, the room temperature. I like that. I love it. You know, they can all figure it out. So let's go to that video, Lindsey Graham.
Since this is a mob taking over the rule of law, this is fundamentally un-American, and until it changes, I will fight back as hard as I can. And what would make it change? A vote of inquiry is necessary to empower the Republican minority in the House to confront accusations against the president. A vote of inquiry allows the president to confront his accuser and to call witnesses on his behalf. Until that is done, this is a joke, this is a sham, and this is a political lynching.
Exactly what it is. It is a political lynching, Tom.
Well, it's refreshing to see Lindsey Graham come out and say this. I mean, we need more Republicans to at least mouth the words of support for President Trump. The fact is, Lindsey Graham, this video came out after 3 or 4 hours this morning of the hashtag Where's Lindsey, because he's been totally silent in all this. And Lindsey Graham has a powerful position where he could actually be calling Hunter Biden. He could subpoena Hunter Biden, and maybe we could get some answers about what happened in Ukraine. But this is a good start, and I highly encourage the senator to continue pushing and actually fight for President Trump in more than 25-second sound bites. But as you said, we'll give him a round of applause for at least taking this step forward.
Yeah, but we can't say the same for Mitch McConnell, apparently. You want to talk about that before we go into the clip?
So let's talk about that. Mitch McConnell, of course, is the supposed leader of the Senate Republicans. People are supposed to go around calling him leader. Leader Mitch is what he wants his colleagues to call him. Uh-huh. And he is essentially the kingmaker in the Senate. He decides what is going to be voted on. He decides who is going to be important. He is calling the shots of the Republican Party. And he thinks that he is bigger than President Trump. And this morning, he made that clear in this video. Let's roll the clip.
Today compared this impeachment to a lynching. Is that how you would characterize this inquiry?
Given the history in our country, I would not compare this to a lynching. That was an unfortunate choice of words. It is an unfair process, and a better way to characterize it would be to call it an unfair process and inconsistent with the kinds of procedural safeguards that are routinely provided for people in this kind of situation, either in court or in an impeachment process in our country.
You know what? No. President Trump called it out for what it is, exactly for what it is. This is a political lynching. They're going after the sitting president of the United States of America that has done nothing wrong as president. He's done positive things for this country, and we all see it. The American people are onto what the Democrats are doing. So what he said, lynching. It is a political lynching that they are doing to him. And it's completely disgusting. It's horrible. So now we have what Don Jr. coming out talking about how the Republicans need to go on the offensive. And you know what? You just talked about it, how they're not doing subpoenas against Hunter Biden and how they're not doing these things. Why aren't they doing this? You know, so let's go to this video and we'll talk about that more.
I think our guys have to fight like they do for a change. I think it'd be great to see, hey, we're not going to get anything done in the House because it's controlled by the resistance. I think we need our guys in the Senate to start pushing back, start subpoenaing this. Do you doubt for one second that this team has met with the whistleblower, Schiff's team, that they have dictated every aspect of this? Subpoena them. Ask them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Why aren't they doing it, Tom? Why do you think that they're not doing these subpoenas like they should be? Hunter Biden, he should be subpoenaed right now. If Nancy Pelosi is going to throw him out there like cookies or candy or whatever it is, they should be doing the same thing. Go on the offensive.
Now, that's right. I mean, the Republican Party, especially in the Senate, needs to listen to Don Jr. Don Jr. has it completely in the right here. But the fact is, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, all of these people, they are essentially proving they are part of the Uniparty. They don't care about President Trump's administration. They care about winning the next election, continuing to be able to use their political clout to give favors to lobbyists and campaign donors. They have no interest in doing what's best for America. And the fact that these powerful Senate Republicans who have made that this is should be the time of their lives. They've spent the last 30, 40, sometimes longer years waiting for this moment where they can bring America back from the edge. And what are they doing instead? Well, they're playing along with the Democrats. They're saying a couple good little sound bites that will appear on Fox News. Some of them get to go on the Fox News daytime lineup. And they're doing nothing to help this country. And the fact is, Will, and you know this as well as I do, many of these Republicans are absolutely no better or worse or any different than the Democrats. They might as well be members of the squad. Lindsey Graham needs to get on the ball and start issuing subpoenas. Mitch McConnell needs to stop agreeing with the Democrats and go on the offensive. Otherwise, we have a Republican squad on our hands, and it's just as important we get them out of office as it is we get the Democrat squad out of office.
Absolutely. I think it has a lot to do with the establishment. You know, I've constantly said how the Republicans are weak in the knees. They have no backbone. And right here, we're seeing it. Why aren't they going after these people that have clearly done wrong? I mean, it doesn't even take a lawyer to figure it out. It doesn't take any of that. We see it, but nothing is being done. I mean, this coup is real. The deep state is real. They're doing everything right now to undermine the president of the United States. And Mitch McConnell is like just going right along with it. It's almost like they're terrified. They're scared of the Democrats. It's like the Democrats have something on them and they're like, okay, well, we're just going to do a little bit here, do a little bit there to make it look like we're doing our jobs with the American people. But that's not actually the case. It's not the case. They have demonstrated it constantly that they are against the American people when they do nonsense like this. FirePowerNews.com. We'll be back in a minute. We are back. FirePowerNews.com. All right. So, Tom, you know, CNN has been in the news, but CNN keeps, you know, ignoring the fact that the Project Veritas video came out, and they keep going on talking about everyone else's problems like everyone else does something that they shouldn't be doing, but they won't even address the issues that they're doing themselves. Why is that? And lead us into the next video.
Well, you know, Will, I think it's very telling that CNN has been one of the biggest organizations pushing this bizarre world, oh, he said lynching, he must be racist narrative, when every single day for now, I believe over a week, Project Veritas has been releasing yet another video showing CNN's, in some cases, truly disgusting work culture. I mean, this next video we're going to play is a new release from Project Veritas that appears, I mean, we all know the Me Too controversy. Well, in some cases, I think it's actually real. And in this next video, of course, you can decide for yourself, and maybe the police or lawyers will eventually decide the authenticity of this. But it certainly seems to sound like something worse than ever happened at Fox News with the former head, or of course, Bill O'Reilly. It seems to be pretty disgusting. Let's air this clip.
But here, like, big advances if there was a social gathering and they were Trump, put his arms around him, trying to touch your leg, trying to build up females to the level where he would get flirty and inappropriate.
What do you mean by that? Like, you mean
like just harassing him?
Like what?
Like, ask him out, ask him to do this, ask him to do that, ask him to dinner. But if you're, say there was a party,
like, be really like sexy and promiscuous in the language.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen emails, but. Yeah. I know, I saved a girl basically at least an assault, like, one night.
Wait, you what?
She was 21. He's like, he's 10 years older than me at least. So, like, there's this girl who's 21. She's actually a good friend of mine. She had just gotten hired after being an intern.
Oh, wow.
And she was getting, there was a going away party for a coworker, and we were all having a really good time.
Yeah.
Because she was very well liked, we were getting drunk.
Yeah.
He was at the party. She was drunk.
Yeah.
He started, like, staying close to her, around her, get a skirt on. I could see the hand. And I looked at him because, man, I could flat. Like, it was like, yeah, I wouldn't do it because then I'd be the one who would
fire.
I could have thrown her through the bar window, but I just gave him a look like, and look at her again. I'm going, you're going to stop breathing for a little while. You know, that kind of thing.
So you thought that, so he did assault her, or you thought that?
He would have absolutely been like in the cab with me later.
Yeah.
Because she was drunk. Like, but he was like, he had his arm around her, and in a setting like any other time ever, they'd barely speak. But he's like trying to like touch her thigh.
And you could tell that she was like uncomfortable with.
And he had already been accused of things prior.
Which like I found stuff
out,
like that?
Which I found out later.
Oh, wow.
I don't know the level of it.
But like what?
I'll tell you this, in the climate that's going on now, he definitely would be fired.
In the
people are not afraid to do shit.
Yeah. Why is he not fired, though?
I don't know. I mean, he's been in CNN for like 20 years, so who knows?
Oh, my God. So he's like an old person.
Yeah, so if you, people got away with a lot. Look at Matt Lauer. People got away with a lot of shit.
Yeah. Okay, what's his name?
Steve Gross.
Wow. She said, like, he's like an old person. Wow. This is happening in CNN. And CNN is completely ignoring the whole Project Veritas videos that are coming out on them. Millions upon millions of people have seen this. And I don't think, you know what, Tom, until CNN addresses it, I think we should talk about it every opportunity that we get. Because CNN is completely despicable. They're talking about ABC even. They're talking about Fox News, like you mentioned. But they don't want to talk about their own issues with inside of their own organization, which is completely corrupt. And then they spew out this fraudulent fake information on a daily basis, trying to take out the sitting president of the United States. I mean, my goodness. You know, I saw a Facebook post from President Trump's Facebook page where he was saying that they're trying to get it to where CNN is designated as completely satire or fake news, which rightfully so, which they are. I mean, it's ridiculous. Right.
Well, the campaign is actually considering suing, or I believe they are suing CNN, because now we know the ideological bent of the network through these leaked videos. And not only that, I mean, Will, you just alluded to it. This is the network that fixated over Stormy Daniels. This is the network that covered the Kavanaugh hearing on the edge of its seat, talking about how this man is a rapist and a pervert and he's a gang rapist and all of these things. This is the network that anytime another woman who from 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago says President Trump treated me inappropriately, they have her on the show. We just saw it earlier this year with the bizarro head case who was saying that President Trump held her down in a dressing room and raped her. CNN had that person on the network with Anderson Cooper. Meanwhile, they have this person who allegedly for the past 20 or more years has been at CNN allegedly violating women. So it's such a moment of hypocrisy for the failing cable news network, the communist news network. And I hope more and more Americans, you're right, Will, we need to talk about this every single day. Jeff Zucker needs to be ousted from his position at that miserable flaming pile of garbage, and it needs to be done quickly. And it's going to be people like this audience who are putting the pressure on CNN and AT&T, who owns CNN, to fire Jeff Zucker and steer the network back into a right direction. And I think that this is going to get to the point. I mean, it started out, they're merely talking about, yeah, we hate Trump, we want him gone. Now we have serious allegations of sexual assault. I mean, it's CNN, it's the new politically correct Gestapo that says if you even flirt with a drunk girl, you might be raping her. That's what this allegation is. CNN should be kicked off the airwaves. This person should be blackballed for life. And it's just going to get worse for the Communist News Network, I'm afraid. And I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. You know, so let's go to this other clip with Klobuchar, where she says the Democrats only want to give out free stuff. They're only about the free stuff. How long do you think she's going to last after this? I mean, I'm like, oh, how dare you tell the truth about what we're doing here? Let's go to that clip.
I get concerned when some of the other candidates are making promises that I don't think that they can keep.
No. So you're saying that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are not being straight with people by how they would pay for all these programs?
Yes.
Have you made that case, do you think, to some of those progressive voters who say now's the time to think big?
Yeah, but I'm thinking big, too.
Essentially, Senator Warren said, though, that you're not thinking big enough. You're not thinking bold enough.
I guess big enough only means that everything's free. Is that what...
That's exactly what that means. You're not thinking how big we can go to destroy America, take everything that everybody, all of you that are listening right now, all of you that are listening, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, all of the Democrats, they are trying to work their darnest right now to try to figure out how to take everything that you worked hard for, everything that you work for your children for, everything that you work to buy that home, buy that vehicle, get that job, everything, the money that you save, your 401k, they're wanting to think so big how to take all of it away from you. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit idly by why they do all of this? Are you going to sit idly by why the Democrats create this chaos, create this division? Tom, this is so ridiculous with these Democrats, and we all see it. The Democrats are grotesque. You know what? I've said this before. The Democrats, I hate Democrats. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them.
This is about smearing the President of the United States and validating the corrupt people who have been involved in delegitimizing his historic election. And we know that because just moments ago, the chairman said that Peter Strzok was acting in the highest traditions of government service. Now, Ms. Flores, I believe you currently hold a job that Mr. Strzok once held. Is engaging in an extramarital affair in the FBI with a coworker acting in the highest traditions of government service?
I'm not going to comment on that, sir.
Well, are there any regulations of the FBI against it that you're aware of?
I'm not going to comment on that, sir.
Well, you hold Mr. Strzok's job. Are you saying that you don't know whether or not it's against FBI policy to have an extramarital affair with a coworker?
Sir, I hold a slightly different job than Mr. Strzok held. I'm the DAD over the intelligence branch. He was over our operational branch, not that we are held to a different standard. I'm just not going to comment on whether or not Peter Strzok's behavior was out of context.
Is it in the highest traditions of government service at the FBI to engage in affairs with coworkers? You should know that if you work there.
Sir, I'm not going to comment on that.
Wow. Well, maybe I'll ask you another one. The Inspector General said in his report, we did not have confidence that Strzok's decision to prioritize the Russia investigation over following up on the mid-year-related investigation. So if the Inspector General didn't have confidence in the way that someone prioritized something, would that be acting in the highest traditions of government service?
Sir, I'm not going to comment on that.
The Inspector General further said the OIG found it's not only indicative of a biased state of mind, but even more suspiciously implies a willingness to take action to impact the presidential candidate's electoral process. This is antithetical to the core values of the FBI and the Department of Justice. If someone, anyone, is engaging in behavior that is antithetical to the core values of the FBI and Department of Justice, is that person acting in the highest traditions of government service?
Sir, we have an entire inspection division. We have the OIG. There are several measures in place that take into account those questions. I'm not going to answer those questions from the position I'm in.
It's just really striking that someone in the senior leadership at the FBI, like an unwillingness to be critical of conduct that was so detrimental to our country.
Wow. Really? Really? I mean, you're talking about basic questions. She could have said, you know what, I'm filling the position, but I'm not going to have this misconduct with my employees. I'm not going to do it myself. Now, I can't speak for someone else. That's all you have to say. It's common knowledge. It makes common sense that you're not supposed to do that. Now, people do it all the time. Goes without saying. It happens all the time, but you should not be doing it. Or she could at least said, you know what, this was wrong. And then they get upset if someone comes up there defending President Trump and not answering questions. They're saying they're being obstructionists. What are they doing here? Tom, this is unbelievable. That was the first time I saw that. This is unbelievable. My question is she having an affair? Maybe she doesn't want to get into it.
It certainly does make you wonder, does she have something to hide? Why won't she answer such a basic question? I mean, what we know about Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, it was an absolutely disgusting situation where the man is cheating on his wife with a colleague, somebody who I believe actually worked under him. They're talking about having an insurance policy, making sure President Trump won't get elected, then making sure he won't have an effective presidency. And now you can't even get a top leading person at the FBI who has a virtually in the differences between her role and Strzok's role are insignificant. She can't even say whether that is typical behavior at the FBI. I mean, the left-wing media, CNN, loves to bemoan the fact that President Trump has taken all credibility away from the FBI. But no, it's not President Trump. We're not disparaging a branch of law enforcement that is integral to the United States rule of law. What we're doing here is noticing finally that this top intelligence agency, this top law enforcement organization, it seems to be totally corrupt, morally vacant, and they are completely unable. I mean, Will, you and I both have done things that are similar to public relations. The worst thing you can do if you are in a public relations position or even in a role like yes. She was is say, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to answer that. I mean, she looked like a deer in the headlights, and she's making her agency look absolutely terrible. So I cannot say I've been very impressed with Matt Gaetz, especially as he goes and gets beautiful moments of video like this. But as Americans, we should all be horrified by what's happening in the FBI right now. It's an anti-Trump organization.
This is the highest law enforcement in the country, if not the world, and can't even answer a basic question. Should two people that work with each other have an affair? I mean, seriously. And it's just like you're just sitting there saying, we're in public eye, we speak out. You can't do stuff like that. I've never done anything like that. And I don't think it's cool to do anything like that. I mean, this is ridiculous. Okay, so let's change speed here. Devin Nunes, I just saw this. I haven't even seen this one yet either. So this is what Devin Nunes says, Twitter, allows left-wing farm bots to thrive. Which, you know what, Tom? I completely agree with that. They're calling out saying that, oh, all the Russian bots, which is you and I, right? Because we're Americans. We support President Trump. So we must be the Russian bots they're talking about because they always call us that. But you do have leftist bots out there. And I'm not talking about actual people. I'm talking about these programmers that have created stuff. Twitter, the whole thing on Twitter is a leftist bot. Whole thing on Facebook, because they put in keywords that go against Americans, go against conservatives. And guess what do? They block them. They censor them. That's what bots do. The AI is a bot. It is a programmable program that someone programmed in there to go against the American people. So let's play this video and we'll talk about it.
Now, when I spoke to you yesterday, you said it could be securities fraud. Yeah. I want to ask you, because basically what you're saying is there's all of these robot accounts. You call them bots, robot accounts. And you think that there's robot farms, which are owned or operated by political campaigns or what?
Well, remember, it was the Democrats and the left, okay, who complained about the bot farms. They said that Trump only won because of Russian bot farms. You had Hillary Clinton yesterday accused Tulsi Gabbard of having bot farms. Well, we know that there are bot farms out there with anonymous accounts that attack me. Twitter knows it. Okay?
And you say that they're Twitter selling advertising it. Based
they're
on
selling
those,
advertising based on those numbers.
And that's
numbers.
Where you come up with security fraud.
That's one issue. All right. So, you know, what percentage of the accounts out there are actually just fake accounts, right? That are just really some guy sitting in his underwear somewhere in his basement with 50 accounts that he sits all day on the computer attacking someone or some group or some party.
And some political group is running.
And here's their big problem that they're not being honest about. When prominent Democrats have bot farms or even parody accounts that are built on them, they get taken down almost immediately. Okay? But with me, here we are in court. And they're so negligent and so arrogant that now I think they're putting their own company in danger.
Well, you know what, Tom? I see that every single day on President Trump's Twitter feed. I see it all the time. It's the same ones that put a message out there and then they never comment and never reply after the fact. It's always right. The same picture of the same people. So that clearly tells me that these are the bots. And it's the same one. It's like, and it's immediately. I mean, sometimes, you know, I watch for President Trump's tweets. And it's like, not even 30 seconds later, oh, caught one early. And I can see where, you know, maybe 80 people have already clicked the like button. And it always hit 56,000 plus on the likes, right? And I was like 83 likes. And I put a comment there. But the same bots, they already have like 20 different comments out there. Saturating it to make it look like the American people are not with them.
Right. Well, and Will, this is something that the left has now admitted to doing. So Roy Moore's campaign, of course, he was accused of being a pedophile and all these horrible things. Mm-hmm. Well, come to find out, about a year after he lost, Washington Post actually put out a story about something called Project Birmingham, where a bunch of leftists wanted to see if they could manipulate an election using so-called Russian bots. And come to find out, they used these bots to attack Roy Moore's Twitter account, make it seem as though he was followed by the Russians. And then they say, yes, it turns out Russian bots can manipulate an election, and they use this as a wonderful proof. Now, the same exact thing, in my opinion, is happening to Tulsi Gabbard right now. She is being attacked by unfriendly organizations who are following her using these, quote, Russian bot accounts. Then you see Hillary Clinton say Tulsi has Russian bots. Tulsi is the favored Russian candidate. So this is a tool for the Democrats, but if a Republican has a fake follower, then it's terrible and we have to ban all Republicans.
Yep. All right, welcome back to this episode, this great episode of FirePowerNews.com with Will Johnson and Tom Pepper. We've been talking about lynching. We've been talking about the Democrats going after President Trump for impeachment. It's a political lynching against President Trump. So, Tom, I know we have some more videos here. This one I saw earlier today myself. This is with Obama. You know, I'm like, everyone's like, where's Obama been? How come he hasn't like endorsed, Joe Biden, his VP? He hadn't done that. He did endorse Trudeau though, right? In Canada. I mean, like, really? He's like colluding, or was he meddling in someone else's election? I mean, do you think they're going to look into all that? Probably not. But, you know, so let's play this video. And I don't know if you've seen this video yet, Tom, but this is with Obama at a dinner with no other than George Soros' son. It's really short. Let's go to that clip. You see it? So there he is. Oh, the camera keeps panning back and forth, but there he is. He pops out and he's there. I mean, you know, if I was there, I'd run over to get a camera. But, you know, I don't think I would want to go to a George Soros dinner because I don't think I would want to eat what's on the menu. Pizzagate. Did I say that out loud?
Well, you know, everybody has been wondering, where is Barack Obama in all of this? I mean, his administration, it's being said by people on other networks than this one, than Bandai Video, that all of this rot that we're seeing right now with the impeachment, with the IG report, it's all going to go back to the top levels of the Obama presidency. So where is Obama? Why isn't he going on CNN to defend his administration, or, like you said, Will, or to defend Joe Biden, his VP, who actually dropped his name when he got the guy fired, the prosecutor from Ukraine? Well, it appears Obama is nowhere else than with George Soros' son at a high-end dinner. I believe it was a fundraising dinner. And Will, you mentioned, and I'm so glad you brought that up, that Obama endorsed Justin Castro, I mean Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, who, by the way, I mean, it's almost like Barack Obama gave him a black pass, because Trudeau, of course, now has multiple photos of him wearing blackface that have been through the media. And it's almost like they needed a high profile black person to come out and say, no, it's okay. It's okay. I promise it's okay. Where he's not in trouble. It's okay. And by the way, I do have to, maybe we should do a moment of silence. Maybe we should just laugh at our Canadian neighbors, but I am sorry to the people of Canada, but I must congratulate you for reelecting your first black face prime minister. Congratulations.
You know, I saw that. I'm like, oh man, this must be some really deranged people in Canada. But you know, it's not all of them. I mean, maybe they're in the same situation where California's been, where they have allowed the Democrats to just overrun the state and take over and create this whole tyranny that they're experiencing right now. Thank God I got out of California. I mean,
fascinatingly, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to point out, fascinatingly, Trudeau and his party did not get the popular vote. The conservatives actually got the popular vote. So it'll be interesting to see how leftists spin this. Apparently the popular vote no longer matters, because Trudeau should be stepping down in disgrace after what his fellow liberals in the United States have said is a travesty. Get rid of the Electoral College. So, I mean, there do seem to be more good Canadians in terms of politics than bad. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, the popular vote has not, it does not matter in Canada either, it would seem.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting there reading this. Is this right? Because I haven't seen this one either. This is the cartel gunman patrol Mexican streets. Are they patrolling? Will, are they patrolling for a good reason, or?
Oh, a terrible reason, Will. So for those who missed it, this broke late last week, like 30 minutes before we did the show on Friday, I believe, and maybe Monday even, it was still ongoing. But what happened in Mexico over the last week or so has been horrifying. So they found the son of a certain kingpin, cartel kingpin, that would of course be El Chapo. They found his son, the Mexican police. They arrested his son. So the cartel gave an ultimatum to the Mexican government. They said, release the son of El Chapo or we will go to war. Well, the Mexican government refused to release the son of El Chapo, and that's exactly what happened. The Mexican cartel went to war with the government of Mexico. They were patrolling in the streets, shooting innocents with machine guns. These horrifying things. But by the way, where do you think they got these guns, Will? It's a little something called Fast and Furious. That's right. So, and they ended up by the Mexican government eventually declared they lost. They surrendered to the Mexican cartels, and they let go of El Chapo's son. And this is just one of the horrifying videos of what's happening in that country to our south. And I think it's a great, great example of why we need that big, beautiful wall and why we need it fast. Let's play the clip.
What? vamos a ver aquí para atrás.
Casa tu madre.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, you know what? This is really a disgrace. I mean, this is happening. And then the Democrats were like, oh, yeah, we need them all coming in. And you know what? Can we get the serial number off of that machine gun that was on my, I think that was like an M60, maybe M50. I mean, can we get the serial number off of that? I mean, maybe Eric Holder can tell us which warehouse that came from. I'm just really curious. So we have another video clip, and I think we need to try to get in here before we run out of time. This is 4 years for fighting back. And I believe this is President Trump, right? Am I correct?
No, so this is actually, okay. I mean, today we had a devastating moment that's a real betrayal of the criminal justice system. We saw, I mean, it's unbelievable. So in New York, there were a few Proud Boys, this happened over a year ago now, who were defending themselves from Antifa, and they are now getting 4 years behind bars for the simple act of fighting back against Antifa. Let's roll as much of that clip as we can.
Proud Boys Max Hare and John Kinsman were just sentenced to 4 years in prison for defending themselves too much after an Antifa ambush.
You cannot be civil.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the street.
Their idea is, look, nonviolence hasn't worked, and we are going to try to stop this.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them.
When they go low, we kick them. That's what this new Democratic Party is about.
I'm in shock. I just got off the phone with John's wife. She's in shock. They have a newborn, not featured in this picture, who won't know John when he gets out in 4 years. 8 years combined. 4 and 4 for a brawl, a barroom brawl with zero victims. The Antifa who picked this fight backed out, insulted the cops, have no injuries. These guys didn't get to face their accusers. There was no accuser. The accuser was the state. It was the DNC. Last year, I did a talk at the Manhattan Republican Club, like I've done many times before, to no reaction in the past. But this time, they needed a reaction. The DNC were about to face the midterms. They were being known as violent. There was jobs, not mobs trending. And they needed right-wing violence desperately to fit the narrative. So they picked fights all night. They attacked everyone who came to my speech, which, by the way, was a comedy show. It was a funny speech. But within every joke is a tiny revolution, and the DNC doesn't want that because Trump cannot win in 2020. That's what this is all about. It's about Trump and Cuomo and de Blasio manipulating the courts to thwart Trump in 2020. I did my talk. Antifa were violent all night. They were attacking the venue before I even showed up, vandalizing it, threatening violence. They beat the crap out of a reporter, stole his equipment. Zero charges, zero media attention. Three guys, Caleb Perkin, Kai Russo, and Finbar Slonim, got away with assault. They got away with felonies that night. No mention of it in the media. At the end of my talk, about 10 Proud Boys were leaving the event, escorted by police. Two of them, Max and John, were ahead of the crowd. Turn a corner. They were ambushed by six Antifa.
Six individuals circled the block and came 82nd Street, Lexa Park, to try to intercept the group.
Six Antifa ambushed two Proud Boys. This was made very clear by the police. The six Antifa jumped them, threw a bottle of piss at them. Max ran up, ripped their mask off. Two of then the rest of the Proud Boys came around the corner. Two of the six Antifa ran away. Four stayed. They got beaten up by Proud Boys.
Wow, that's amazing. You know what? Had no idea that, I mean, why is the mainstream media not even talking about this? It should be everywhere, plastered everywhere. We're going to talk about this tomorrow as well. We'll be back.
extrajudicial murder based on racial hatred. For the president to bring it into that tweet to defend himself against a process that is proceeding legally and according to the Constitution is race baiting and a fundamental misunderstanding of the process all wrapped into one. It's really a shame that he makes this, a shame is too weak of a word, but also that Republican senators in the main have not jumped to condemn this. The majority leader did, Senator McConnell, but you had the only, even the only African-American Republican in the Senate, Senator Scott, did basically ratified the president's statement, said, I see what he's saying, even though I wouldn't have used that word. It's really kind of a disgrace.
What do you think, Jeffrey?
It's a total disgrace. You know, well, they all should go to Montgomery, Alabama, to where the Equal Justice Initiative has just created the first national memorial to the victims of lynching. Thousands of people, almost all of them African Americans. And, you know, this was an organized, racist, extrajudicial attempt, successful attempt.
Pause it right there. You know what was disgusting about this dude is that he's not going to even talk about who was doing the lynching. It was the Democrats. It's always been the Democrats doing all of this stuff, and they're trying to make it out. This is exactly what I'm talking about when the Democrats try to change history. The history is that they were the ones doing the lynching. They were the ones that's terrifying people politically. Continue.
Kill people without trials, and it happened all over the country, especially in the
Stop
South.
Stop it again.
And the
see, he just said they want to kill people without trials. They want to impeach President Trump without a trial. They want to impeach President Trump over nothing he's done wrong. They are doing the exact same thing in this political lynching of President Trump. Continue.
Trump, this rich white man who was inconvenienced.
Stop it again. Seriously, rewind it back like 5 seconds. Because see, oh, now it's a problem because he's a rich white man. Do you see what I'm talking about? I'm a black male and I see what the Democrats have been doing to this nation. The Democrats serve no purpose. They should be eradicated from this country. Now, I don't mean to be harsh and I'm not talking about being violent towards people, but my God, these people are disgusting. Play it again.
Especially in the South, and the idea that Donald Trump, this rich white man who was inconvenienced by an impeachment investigation, is analogizing his fate to that of people who died at the hands of these vigilante mobs.
The hands of Democrats. Tom, it's the hands of Democrats. That's what, you know what, maybe I'm taking it a little too personal. Maybe because I am, because they're always associating lynching with black people. I mean, why? What is that? Like we talked about earlier, when the Democrats see the word lynching, oh, he must be talking about black people because he's a white Republican, a white male saying it. It's disgusting.
Well, it is, Will, and it's very degrading, I would think, to black people because they're saying, okay, look, black people, we found a new reason for you to be upset. You need to, and look who they got on that show, by the way. It's a bunch of old white men telling black folks, you should be enraged. You should hate President Trump. He is belittling what happened to you at the hands of other Democrats, but it's very insulting. I mean, if somebody did this to me, like, you know, oh, you young white men, you should be very upset against Trump. Because he's banning vaping. I mean, that's degrading. That's belittling.
Exactly.
That's insulting.
Exactly. And they, you know what? I'm so sick of them playing this race card. If we didn't have Democrats in this country, we wouldn't even be talking about that. If we didn't have Democrats in the country, we would probably be talking about fishing, boating, different hobbies. We wouldn't be talking about all this crazy stuff. And they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. The only difference that we see here with the Democrats of then and the Democrats of today, they've gotten black people to join in with them in this whole racism against people. And you know, it really is not anything different because they have black people then on the plantation to run out and retrieve the black people to bring them back to the plantation. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. They're doing this to get at President Trump, to make President Trump seem like he's the old, evil, bad white man. And he's not. The Democrats are. The Democrats are nothing different than Satan because Satan is controlling them. All right, firepowernews.com, Will Johnson and Tom Pepper will be back with our special guest.
with Will Johnson.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second hour of Firepower with me, Tom Papert, and Will Johnson. Our guest for the entire hour is going to be Enrique Tarrio, who is the chairman of the Proud Boys. And you probably saw, if you watched the last hour in the last few minutes, today the NYC nine, at least two of them, were sentenced to 4 years each for essentially defending themselves against a mob of Antifa, who, by the way, they didn't want to press charges. They wanted to have nothing to do with this because they hate the police almost as much as they hate the Proud Boys. So, Enrique Tarrio, chairman of the Proud Boys, thank you for making time in your schedule. Thank you for being with us here tonight.
Thank you for having me, Tom. But as we saw today, today was very somber in the morning. We're very optimistic. I talked to Max right before he went in, and he's very optimistic. He's like, look, whatever happens, it's in God's hands right now, and I think it's going to be good. I think the outcome's going to be good, and we're looking at maybe him getting probation. I don't know if you guys have traveled to New York, but I traveled to New York recently and I saw three fights in one day. This is a normal occurrence in New York, and it's crazy to me that they're doing more time than like a pedophile for defending themselves.
Wow. That's amazing. You know what? I'm looking to make a trip to New York here soon. So let me ask you this. Did anything happen?
Might be a dangerous trip for you.
Well, I plan on going with a group of people, and there's supposedly an event coming up, but I don't have the details on it, so I'm not going to get into that. But I plan on making a trip to New York, and I'm not going to be violent. But did anything happen to the Antifa that was, you know, in the brawl as well, or is it just the Proud Boys?
Well, this is the craziest part about it. So the Antifa that were in the brawl, said words that I can't say on this show right now, but basically called the cops pigs and told them to go away. And so they decided to make a case against the Proud Boys without the victims present, which I believe is unconstitutional. In order to prove in a case for a prosecutor to prove it, they need like a weapon and a victim. You know,
eyewitness.
Give me something, an eyewitness. The only eyewitness they had was an Antifa journalist that was there and took a video, which her video clearly showed that our guys were defending themselves. And as you saw on Gavin's video, NYPD, when they were explaining the events that happened that night, they explained that Antifa went around to confront our guys. And there's...
It's premeditated, right, by Antifa.
It's nuts, man. It's nuts. I'm still trying to compose myself from what I heard this morning. Our justice system is screwed. Our law system is screwed. And we're seeing, today we saw political prisoners, get time where somebody would normally just get a slap on the wrist or probation or whatnot, in a trial case like this. And that judge is crap. That judge is straight crap to go ahead and sentence these guys, one of which has a newborn.
And by the way, I mean, anybody who saw the video, he married a black woman. So apparently he's not a very good racist. But Enrique, one of the things the judge, I believe it was the judge, said is that what the Proud Boys did in New York, you know, I guess have an event and then defend themselves from their attack, it mirrors what happened in 1930s Germany. You have street brawls happening in the streets, and he acts like he is taking a stand against the new Adolf Hitler by putting these people in behind bars for, I guess, an additional 2 years on top of the minimum sentence. So I guess my question is, where do we go from here? Is there an appeal process? Are they going to do all 4 years? What does this look like? What's the next step?
Fortunately and unfortunately, they do have an appeals process. It's extremely expensive. Here's another thing that a lot of people don't know. So I live in Florida, and to get transcripts for a case or trial costs about $80. In New York, it costs $7,000 to get those transcripts. So their appeals process is upwards of $20,000 each. they and us were able to come up with that money. So they are definitely going through the appeals process, but, I still have hope. I still have hope that the appeals process would do something about it. But, what we're seeing here, this isn't as much about Antifa as it is about the government in New York. You know, you got, NYPD, they didn't see a reason to arrest anybody. They let everybody go. It was right before the midterms. We saw within a couple minutes of each other, we saw, Governor Cuomo, de Blasio, and the New York AG tweet. And as soon as they tweeted, a couple days later, NYPD was forced to pick up our guys, and they were forced to turn themselves in. Then we see the prosecutor try to use Gavin's show, which is basically comedy, and use that against our guys as something like you said in jest on your show. And then we have the judge. The judge sits here. Okay, the jury went ahead and found them guilty of I don't know what. We were also optimistic about the case because there was one witness, which was an Antifa journalist. The cops were on our side on the bench. And this judge, it's the whole system. It's judges, AGs, governors, mayors. I mean, the whole system is rigged in against us.
Yeah, you know what? I saw a Communist News Network report or a Criminal News Network report where they were talking about Antifa members consist of professors, doctors, lawyers, judges, just people in prominent positions, even some, you know, political positions. Did they ever produce a police report that a crime was committed?
No, that night there was no police report that was on record. Again, it came from the top down. It came from the governor to the AG to the prosecutor and then obviously to NYPD to go pick up our guys. It's not a case about Antifa. Antifa's their pawns, right? Antifa is their cannon fodder. They use them to do their bidding. And we're seeing this in every city. Actually, when we went to Portland, last time I was on the show, we were talking about the end domestic terrorism rally that we had in Portland. The police officer that was assigned to us basically told us, well, if you're not comfortable, telling us the details of your rally, I understand because Antifa has their hands in everything, including the police department.
That's absolutely horrifying. So Enrique, we're getting ready to go out to break here in the next few minutes, but in 2 or 3 minutes here, can you explain to us exactly how do patriots survive in these leftist metropolises like New York? What is your advice?
I'm going to use the advice that Max gave me last night and this morning. Like I said, Max was super optimistic, but he also said that no matter what happens, do not change anything that we're doing. Keep pushing forward. Keep bringing the fight to them. We're going to keep this. This is actually inspiring me to keep coming out and exposing him. It's like the Proud Boys are the daylight, you know, we're the light in that when we go there, they come out and they show their true colors. So maybe we need to start going out a little bit more. Maybe New York needs an end domestic terrorism rally geared towards their government because that's what they are. They're a bunch of domestic terrorists, elected domestic terrorists.
You know what? I was getting ready to ask you that very thing. Is there anything coming up where the Proud Boys will be in New York City? Because if you are, I would like to be there and stand there with you. And because we need to expose what the local government is doing. Because the local government in New York, they're taking away the people's First Amendment rights even. I mean, this country is on the verge of imploding and it's because of the Democrats. We've got to stand up. All right, so firepowernews.com. Tom Pepper, Will Johnson will be right back with our special guest. This is crazy where we live in. See you in a minute.
Thank you.
right, we are back. We are talking to our special guest, Enrique Tarrio, Proud Board member, talking about what happened to some Proud Board members in New York City, pretty much jailed just for having free thought, for protecting themselves from thugs like Antifa. So without further ado, let's bring Tom in. How you doing? All right. So right before we went to break, I was asking you about, are you planning on making a trip to New York? And like, if you are, I want to be there with you. I want to stand there next to, side by side with you, showing my support for freedom.
So today has been a day that we have just been working on getting Max and John comfortable right now and working on the appeals process. There is plans of doing something in New York. I probably will have those details in the next couple of days, and I'll shoot you guys a message and let you know about that. But again, right now, like, our focus is our guys. You know, every time we're seeing this happen across the country, it's not just with Proud Boys. You start seeing these telltale signs. We saw it in January. We saw it in January with Roger Stone. We saw how he has become a pawn for the left's impeachment trial, right? And then here comes, they always start off with people like Roger Stone, and then they end up with the Proud Boys. We're a real threat to the establishment. We're a real threat to the Democratic establishment. Because we're funny, we're strong, we're alpha males. We don't want to see anybody get hurt. We put ourselves in the front line. They basically told us that the day before, I remember it clearly because I was here in Florida when Gavin was going to have his event on that Saturday at the Metropolitan Republican Club. They told us that we cannot go there. Antifa threatened the Metropolitan Republican Club and said that if you host these guys, you'll see what's going to happen to you. Basically a threat. They spray painted the entire place. They broke windows. They super glued the doors. And you know what we did? We're like, maybe the best outcome would have been for Max and John would have been not to show up. But that's not what we do. That's not what we're known for. We've had many people come and tell us, oh, why didn't you just show up if Antifa told you not to show up? Well, because we can. Because the moment that we go ahead and we back down, everywhere, we won't be able to go anywhere. Just like Portland mayor tried to tell me that I can't go to Portland. I can go wherever I want and wherever I please under the threats of intimidation. We won't be intimidated from not going somewhere. We're going to show up in New York. We're going to show up in Portland. We're going to show up in Boston. We're going to show up anywhere that we can where this threat is real. And this threat is real. It's becoming real across the country. Mm.
So, Enrique, you've been talking a lot about the organization, the Proud Boys, which, as I understand it, it was largely founded to help bring alpha men back into society, because society is beating down men and turning them into little soy boy losers who apparently go and beat people up, or at least try, and then the people they brawl with go to prison. So tell us just, I mean, how do we get from a drinking club that promotes the West to, in the eyes of the media, the next Nazi party? I mean, chaired by an Afro-Cuban in Florida. It makes no sense to me. What is the just describe the organization, and then how on earth did we get here?
I think everything is because we're a men's drinking group. We weren't built to be like a security force or anything like that. We're definitely not a militia or anything like that. We're just a group of guys that just happened to be those first couple of events. We just happened to be at the right place at the right time. When you put a whole bunch of alpha males together, they're going to do what they do. When they see somebody getting hurt, they're going to stand in the way. When they push, we're going to push back. It's always reactive what we do. We never go out with the intention of, oh, let's go beat people up. There's not one instance that anybody, not even a left-wing journalist, as you saw with CNN that day at Portland, where they can show that we were the first to act in anything. Even the jurors saw that. Called it, I forgot the word that they used. They used, They said that it was self-defense, but we went overboard with the self-defense, which is a complete lie. Our guys got thrown a glass bottle of urine that could have killed you. You get hit in the temple with a glass bottle of urine. It's pretty much lights out for you. So they were defending themselves, and, you know, they were at their event. Again, I brought this up last time I was on this show. We don't go to their parties. Their parties suck. We had a party. Our party was great. So great that they wanted to crash it. So great that they beat up a journalist. They stole his equipment. Yeah. And then, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think there was like six of them that got arrested that day, and they got off with like probation.
That's it.
Or something like that. It was assault and theft. So, and they're not doing a day in jail. Our guys are obviously, because they're conservative, they're now doing 4 years at Rikers Island.
This is ridiculous. Have you ever been told that, you know, maybe you shouldn't do these events because you're the one inciting the violence simply because you're exercising your free speech? I mean, I've been told that because I've gone out and I've stood out on a corner holding the American flag in America, waving the flag. And I've been told that, well, you need to stop doing that because you're inciting violence. I mean, have you ever been told that?
Yeah, a whole bunch of times. It's usually by left wingers. They're like, oh, well, you shouldn't go because you shouldn't incite this. If the mere right now, Proud Boys have become such a force right now. All I got to do is say, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be in Boston, right? And they will show up and they will burn the city down. We don't even have to actually go. We just say that we're going to go. All we got to do is do that. We're not going to do that. We're always going to show up to wherever we say that we're going to show up. But if you're telling me that stop going somewhere because you're inciting these things, then maybe we're not the problem.
Now I think that's a very good point. So Enrique, tell us a little bit. I mean, the Proud Boys, as you say, it's a men's drinking club. You oftentimes seem to be targeted by the media. We can talk about all that maybe in the next segment, but describe Antifa as an organization, if you can, because I think part of the issue here is when it's the Proud Boys, Gavin McInnes is big Hitler, you're little Hitler, these are all a bunch of brown shirts. Describe how Antifa works on the other hand.
Yeah, so
we're getting ready to go to a break. Let's do that after the break.
Yeah, I really want to hear what your opinion on that too, because to me, they're nothing but a whole bunch of thugs, you know, and I like how they're always saying that, you know, it's, they're helping black people, and it's always white people that's doing bad stuff, but predominantly they're all white young males. And I'm like, are you putting two and two together? Maybe because of the black mask and the black hood, they're saying that they're
mask.
Yeah, exactly. They're yeah, they're a bunch of bad apples. They're a bunch of nut jobs in Antifa. So if you know any Antifa members, tell them to tune in. We're going to talk about you after this break.
In the fire of truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
Welcome back to Firepower with me, Tom Pappert, and Will Johnson. Our guest is, of course, Enrique Tarrio, chairman of the Proud Boys, two of whom today were sentenced to 4 years in prison for the crime of defending themselves against Antifa. Before we went to break, I just asked you, Enrique, what are the differences in terms of hierarchy, in terms of organization between the Proud Boys, a drinking men's drinking club, and Antifa? Can you tell us a little bit? Because I think this is part of the reason why the police and the leftists and the deep state really are able to go after you. So to some extent, effectively, can you tell us a little bit about this?
So the structure of our organization is very loose. You know, we have autonomous chapters. You have our council and you have the elder position. I mean, the chairman position, which is me. And We're just a bunch of guys that drink beer once a month. 90% of us aren't even political. Like, we're political in, like, our views, but we're not politically active. Like, we don't go to events. They don't go to events. And most of our guys are just, like, fathers and husbands. We're across the entire globe. We go from the United States. We have chapters in Israel, the UK, Japan, North Korea, South Korea. All that we ask is that you come out once a month with us to drink a beer. Antifa, on the other hand, there's a difference between Antifa on an international level and Antifa here domestically in the United States. So Antifa is a very loose, structured organization internationally. They have leadership roles, but they kind of go by their book. Here in the United States, they have an organizational structure where they have leadership, they have media, they have journalists, they have a network, and we've mapped out that network pretty well. And I hope soon we'll have enough data to go ahead and prove they are an organization with hierarchy. They do plan these violence to use violence at these events. We've seen them use explosives. We've seen them use urine and feces. We've seen them bring knives and guns to events. Like we saw in Portland, we saw all kinds of stuff from Portland PD that was confiscated, including pistols, ammo, knives, bats with nails in them. And covert weapons, like we saw in Berkeley with the bike lock, you know, where police can't arrest him for having a bike lock, but they still use it as a weapon, as a deadly weapon. They could have killed that guy. And that professor here, perfect example, that professor got hit some dude over the head and got, like, I don't know, like 2 years probation, and actually, like, cracked somebody's skull. The victim was there. And, yeah, he got probation. Here we go. Proud Boys get 4 years in prison for a brawl.
Yeah, you know,
where they were defending themselves.
Yeah, it's completely, it's like upside down world. I mean, we're literally living in the upside down world where everything that was, you know, that's good is now considered bad, and everything that's bad is now considered good. And we're seeing it. I mean, right through what happened to these two young gentlemen. And one of them has, you know, like you said, a newborn on the way. And he's, and from the picture, I was looking at the picture, he's married to a black female. And they're trying to say that he's racist. I mean, this is, it's like beyond insanity with these people. And they deliberately did it. I think they deliberately did this because the Proud Boys, they know they're not a terrorist group. They want to make the Proud Boys out to be a terrorist group. Antifa, they are truly a terrorist group. They're terrorizing people.
Well, they're named by DHS as a terrorist group, yes.
Yeah, for political reasons they're doing it. You know, I actually have, when last time you came on with us, or the prior to that, before the Portland, I was asking you about, you know, Stop Domestic Terrorism. And, you know, I actually have a website that is called Stop Domestic Terrorism. And I was started a year, maybe 2 years ago with another gentleman, and Stop Domestic Terrorism. And it shows the Antifa and how the Democrats and all of that. I mean, it's just completely crazy that we even have to have the discussion, because Proud Boys, I've been with Proud Boys in California and various other places. And not a single time have I ever felt threatened. I felt safer with the Proud Boys.
Mm-hmm. This is an issue. It's not about what they do. It's about who's telling them to do these things, right? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there's a round table sitting somewhere that's pushing this agenda through the media. They want to label, it's not just Proud Boys, it's conservatives. We're basically conservatives. That's what we are. Right. I know that we're not everybody's cup of tea, because we're a little bit more physical than your average, like, TP USA member. But It's happening to TP USA. It's happening mm-hmm. to Alex Jones. It's happening to Will Johnson. It's happening to Tom. It's happening to everybody. We're just the test dummies, you know? And, this is like a deep state. The deep state is pushing this. And they are the foot soldiers in this war. You know, they got people in academia. They got people in media. They got people, on the streets. They got people in Congress. You know, we saw it with Ellison. We saw Ellison go ahead and pull out an Antifa manual. We're seeing AOC come in. She's super intelligent. You know, she's almost single-handedly shifted the Democratic Party even more socialist than they are. We're seeing candidates that are socialists in Texas are polling a lot better. If we don't get out and do something, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. And I hate when people are so sure that we're going to win in 2020. I mean, sometimes it's obvious. You look at that Democratic field and you're like, oh, who could possibly win? Well, right now we have a lot of people like giving props to Tulsi, you know, Tulsi might have a couple of good zingers on Hillary Clinton, might have a couple of good talking points, but at the end of the day, she's a socialist. That's what they're doing. They're playing the media game so we could go, oh, well, she's not that bad.
Yep.
No. And then you get those people that are really undecided, jump ship, and they jump ship to Tulsi. Like this is a real thing. You're watching it. We're watching it right before our eyes. And somebody in that Democratic field that is awesome that he lost so badly was Governor Cuomo, the person that put those Proud Boys in prison. I'm so happy he lost. He's a loser. He doesn't deserve to even sit on that panel, even though all of those people are garbage. He's worse than garbage. And he's humiliated. I'm happy that people that support that devil, gave their money to him and have lost it down the drain.
Yeah, I agree.
So Enrique, we've just got another minute or so left in this segment. Next segment, we definitely need to talk about how we can help these people. But how do we begin to fix this? We're stuck in the muck. We're in a foxhole. There's shrapnel all around us. What in a perfect world would we need to do or would need to be done so we can get back to really winning again?
It's – so the British SAS have this say that – saying that they go by, it says, he who dares wins, right? Mm. We need to be more daring. Mm. We need to start electing congressmen and senators that are more daring than what we have now. I'm watching this field on our side too, and I'm like, we're running right now here in Miami. We're running an anti-Trump, pro-Castro Republican in our districts, one of our districts down here. I mean,
wow.
You guys need to dare. Everybody needs to dare. Everybody that's listening into this show, I dare you to go out and do something.
Yeah, you know what? I say that all the time. You've got to stop sitting idly by while it's taking place. All right, we're going to talk to Enrique Carrillo more after this break. Firepowernews.com. All right, we are back. We're talking to our special guest, Tom Pepper and myself, with Enrique Tarrio, a Proud Boy member out of the state of Florida. And we're talking about the two young men that have been arrested for defending themselves against Antifa. See, I guess this is going to be like the new model to go out to the rest of the country, that you can't protect yourself in the United States if Antifa is attacking you, because they are the foot soldiers of the Democrat KKK party. They replaced the white hoods with black masks. You know, so like I mentioned earlier, I started a website a couple of years ago called Stop Domestic Terrorism. And you can see that website, if you can guys put that on the screen real quick. And it's Stop Domestic Terrorism. And it was all about Antifa and all of the things that they've been doing. It's the Coalition Against Domestic Terrorism, which is happening in the United States of America right now. We're seeing all of this stuff happening, and it's like reoccurring with them. What Enrico Tarrio was talking about,
has been happening, and he mentioned it. It's happening to all of us. It's happening to Tom. It's happening to him. It's happening to me. It's happening to all of us who are Trump supporters, conservatives, Christians in this country. And if you're white, you're really in trouble. I mean, if you're really in trouble if you're a white male in this country. So let me ask you this. I know you said there was an appeal going taking place. Let's talk about how people can support them, and because they need the support. So how can everyone, our viewers and listeners that are listening, because they don't want this to happen to any American citizen that's simply exercising their free speech. So how can we support them?
So I'd like to remind your viewers, so it wasn't just two of them. It was nine. It's the New York City Nine. So we've promoted this link on Alex's show before, and it actually helped us out a lot. We couldn't, the way that lawyers are, how expensive lawyers are in New York, it's ridiculous. Like each one of their lawyers was about $30,000-$40,000. And then we're seeing the appeals process is just as expensive. And we haven't even gone through the entire appeals process, so that's even more expensive. So we have nine guys that have gone through the ringer. One of them's doing weekends in jail. The other one is still pending. I think in a couple of days we have another one that's going to trial. The way that you can help all of our guys out is if you can please go to fundthewest.com. That gives you, since we're banned on every – we're banned on Patreon, GoFundMe. We have to sell these rubbery wristbands. We have to sell something in order to get – we have to give you something in exchange for a donation. So if you take a look, if you click on choose an option, there's different color wristbands for different prices. There's all the way from $25 all the way up to $5,000. And, like, let's say you wanted to donate $75. You could pick up an orange bracelet. And then pick up a black bracelet. It's not the best thing. You know, people usually love typing in the donation amount. But as Proud Boys, that's all we got right now. We've been demonized so much that we can't – I lost my bank account to this. I've lost – a lot of guys have lost their freedom. Bank accounts are the least of our worries. You know, I can go somewhere and get another bank account. They'll cancel that one. And maybe the Proud Boys will make their own bank one day. But one thing that we can't get back is our guys' freedom. So right. If you guys can give and help us out, we'd really appreciate it. And when you see another thing that helps us out is that when you see one of our guys at a rally, you know – Just go up to him and ask him, for the guys out there, ask him how you could join, how you can be part of our ranks and help out everybody. We're not just a security group, dude. We're a men's group and we're out here to make better men. That's all we are. We're not a men's support group. Some people call us men's support group. We're not a support group. We're just a men's group. That's it. So I'd encourage you guys, if you got anybody wants to join our ranks at ProudBoysUSA.com. You could also buy a bunch of cool merch from us at 1776.shop, where we have all conservative gear. It's like an Amazon for conservatives. Everybody that sells there is verified. We know them, or they've sent us a letter and we've verified who they are. So you know that that money's not going to Bezos. You know that that money's not going to Bill Gates. You know that money's not going to a globalist. You know that money's going to a hometown regular conservative Joe that's just trying to make a living.
It sounds like we're
conservatives are starting to understand is how. I think that's one of the main things conservatives are starting to understand, that we have to financially support each other. So I do encourage everybody to go to all of those websites, buy a wristband, buy some merchandise, and help fight the war. I mean, it is a political war. Thankfully, it's not a violent war against this type of political prisoner system that they're putting upon us. So, Enrique, we're running out of time, but I wonder if you can tell us how have the Proud Boys been smeared by the media, by politicians. Tell us about what the average Proud Boy, and not to say don't join. I mean, you're not catching flack unless you're over the target. But tell us about some of these smears.
Some of these smears is exactly that. They're smears. They'll get a story like our New York City 9, where we hosted an event. Antifa came to crash it. They got hurt. You know, they got hurt. And the media is like, oh, look at these demons. Look at these Proud Boys that they're racist. And they showed, the awesome part is like Huffington Post shows a picture and like the headline says like white supremacist, fascist, neo-Nazi. And I think that there's like Asians, the Asian guy, he's a big chunky Asian guy that's sitting in the front. He's taking up like a quarter of the picture. And all we're seeing is, like I always say, it's the moniker of the month, you know, it's racist, misogynist, proto-fascist, fascist, neo-fascist, neo-Nazi. It's whatever their flavor of the month. The first thing that comes out of their mouth, is what happens. We're not fascist. I believe fascists and communists are in the same pool. They're both authoritarian and they have no place in America. We just need to come together and we need to get more people out there. We need to make sure one of the most important things is, most important rights that we have as American citizens is our right to vote. So another thing that I'd encourage you guys out there watching on the other side of this pixelated screen, I want you guys to bring a bus with you to go vote. Get out there on election day, go to early voting, stand outside, pass out flyers, knock on doors for your local candidates. That's what's going to make a difference. We can't, since they're going to try to steal the election, we need as much votes as possible. Mm. We saw this in Canada, just yesterday, you know, where the conservatives won the popular vote. And we got, their Afro-Canadian got voted back in anyways. That's their system. You know, I'm not complaining about it. That's their system. But you know what? We need to beat their system, their cheating system. And yeah. The only way that we're going to do that is if we get outside, go vote and bring a bus with you.
Yep. 100%. Hey, I want to thank you for coming on with us and it's been a real honor. And you know what? Like I said, when you do go to New York, let me know. I'm going to come stand with you side by side. Make it a point to be there to cover it, to expose the tyrannical government in New York City. And man, I look really forward to it. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Tom would like to join me there, but that'd be pretty awesome too. I mean, so just, I mean, Tom's like I said, just let time. Us know.
Yeah. I'm bringing Tom over on this trip. As the moment that I get details on that, Tom and Will, you guys will be the first ones to know. But we're definitely going to do something. We're not just going to stand idly. We're not known to stand idle. We're known to go out and do something about it. And we're planning on making major moves here in the next couple months.
Yeah, we need, because you know what? We need to go on offensive. And I'm not talking about being violent, but we need to go on offensive to make these people aware that we're not going to sit idly by while they do all this corruption right in front of our faces. Because someone needs to say something. And like you said, someone needs to get out and do something. Someone needs to get out and say something. We can't sit idly by on the bench waiting for someone else to do it. So I want to thank you for coming on with us, and I look forward to it. And once you get out everything finalized and you want to make it public on when you're going, please, by all means, come back on with us. We'll get it out there, and we'll talk about it so we can get people to come support us. Because I guarantee there's a lot of people in New York that love this country, hate the way the Democrats have been doing, and will come out and support us. Because the more of us, the more they're going to have to pay attention to what's going on. So we're cool. So, hey, I want to thank you again.
Fund the West. Take care, guys.
Take care. So, all right, Firepower News, beautiful broadcast. I want to thank Tom again, Will Johnson, myself, the crew. We'll see you tomorrow, God's willing.